Now we are joined by an NBC Sports NBA insider, host of the Haber Show podcast, creator of the ALS Pepper Challenge. He is a friend of the program. He is Tom Haberstroh. Tom, good to have you back. Tom, you and I normally talk throughout the course of the NBA season, but this has been such an unusual season. What's it been like for you, and how does it feel to know that we're now a month and a day away from games actually taking place, Tom?
Yeah, Jim, thanks for having me. It kind of feels like I'm less of an NBA reporter and more of a public health policy reporter.
Sure.
Because so much of my writing these days has been about the health and safety protocols of the NBA and, you know, the ramifications of sending, 22 teams to one location that has been deemed a bubble. But as my reporting shows, it's not a bubble. It's more like one GM told me, said it was a mesh hat because, people are going to be coming in and out of the campus from Disney. Now, the Disney employees who are servicing and operating the campus, who are not going to be subject to the daily tests and the quarantine that NBA players and staff are subject to. So much of my life has become more about infectious diseases and covering coronavirus and the ramifications on the NBA. And I am so excited for, the talk to be more basketball focused as long as it's safely. We're safely getting to that point.
Tom Haberstroh is my guest. All right, I'll go back to the COVID version of this or part of that in a minute. But in terms of the schedule, Tom, the NBA released it for 8 regular season games that are going to take place before the playoffs in Orlando. Overall, what is your impression of the schedules?
It's good. It's good to actually have a schedule. It's good that we have something to chew on for the next few weeks before the games start. The 8 seeding games is what they're calling it, seeding for the playoffs rather than calling it the regular season because, of course, 8 teams are not going to be part of this. I really am just baffled the inclusion of the Phoenix Suns, who are 6 games back of the playoffs, in this group. It's really hard for them to make the playoffs in general. And even the schedule, the 8-game schedule that they have, it's going to be really, really difficult, if not impossible, for them to get into the playoffs. But what I underlined from the beginning is that Zion Williamson is going to be the face of the NBA during this seeding schedule. And the NBA realizes that putting him in the first game of the resumption of the season against the Utah Jazz, Zion Williamson is apparently healthy and ready to play. And given that the New Orleans Pelicans have such a strong team and they have the easiest schedule of the 8 seeding games, I think they are going to be such an interesting story because of the fact that Zion is such a sensation. And also, they're kind of like the underdog, the Cinderella team in this resumption of the season, given that they're a few games back of the playoffs. And I really think that is going to be the big story of the seeding games or the schedule that was released, is that Zion Williamson and the New Orleans Pelicans are going to be the biggest team and biggest player, biggest name in that regular season resumption.
No doubt. Tom Haberstroh is my guest. Tom, what about the Raptors and the Lakers as an example? They've got a tough run in those 8 games. Is that a bad thing or might that be a good thing in terms of helping teams to ramp up?
Yeah, it remains to be seen, Jim, and especially because we don't know what kind of injuries are going to be taking a toll here on the season and the roster makeup. So I would stress this also is that we should take the schedule right now with a grain of salt in terms of strength of schedule, simply because we don't know how these bodies are going to react to 3-plus months of not having 5-on-5 basketball, which is different. And I want to stress this to the listeners out there. This is not like a lockout season where, these guys were off the court for several months not playing NBA games. This is so different because they weren't allowed to even play 5-on-5. And in a lockout or a strike, they're allowed to play as much 5-on-5 as they want as long as it's not in the NBA confines. So I think that's important to note, that just because they've been off for 3 months does not mean this is a regular off season. They've been off their feet and playing 5-on-5 basketball, which is really going to be a big question mark going forward, is what kind of injuries are we going to see from this? And I think the Raptors and the Lakers they might take the position of, look, LeBron James, we need to save you for the playoffs. We need to save you, Kyle Lowry, for the playoffs. We might not have those guys play all eight games. And I think that definitely makes an impact on, you know, the strength of schedule for those eight games, for not just those teams, but every team in the NBA.
Tom Haberstroh is joining us once again. Also, Tom, you had a piece last week where you spoke to Dr. William D. Parham. First off, for those who do not know, who is he and what is his role?
Yeah, he's the mental health director for the NBA Players Union. So he is the person who's in charge of establishing, you know, mental health guidelines, services, resources for the players union, NBA players. And I talked to him about this bubble. Is, you know, these players are going to be away from their families for 7 weeks, perhaps more, away from family and friends. And what kind of impact will that have on their psyche? And he actually took a different reaction to that news. He actually thought it might be a positive thing for the players in some sense, where they'll actually be more introspective and look inside and actually think about what's important to them. And it actually will be a good time for self-reflection and almost like a meditative getaway for the players, because so much of this is going to be in isolation. I think it's going to be very hard on the players. But listening to Dr. Parham talk about how your reflection in the mirror can only be, you can't look at your reflection in running water. The water has to be still in order for you to see your image, is what he told me about the benefits potentially of going into this quarantine, is that players will be still and they will be able to look inside and kind of be a little bit more reflective on their lives, compared to what it's been like in the NBA, where they're always constantly on the move and traveling.
I think that's a great analogy. Tom Haberstroh is joining us. Of course, there is this other component, Tom, to all of this, and that's the protests against racist police brutality. A number of players have been really involved in the protests, and the issue has been raised about whether playing games is a distraction from those protests, or if it's a bad look to be heading off to Disney to play basketball games and make money during that time. What's your sense as to how much the prospect of being at a resort during this time is weighing on players?
You know, I talked to Atlanta Hawks coach Lloyd Pierce on my podcast, The Haberstroh, about this very subject. And he made a great point, which is, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement has definitely benefited from the fact that there are no sports right now. Is that when you're watching SportsCenter, when you're talking about sports, it's usually through the lens of what the Black Lives Matter movement and the social unrest and coronavirus, because of the fact that there aren't any games. And so what Lloyd Pierce wanted to stress is the importance of, you know, devising strategies to amplify that message, because a lot of these sports programs are going to be dedicated to games and actual highlights. So I think that's going to be a real interesting angle on this, is how are players going to use those games, use the platform in order to figure out a way to get that message out there in ways that will overcome the fact that a lot of sports programming is going to be dominated by, hey, points, rebounds, assists, golf leaderboards, and RBIs.
We are talking to Tom Haberstroh. We're talking about the resumption of the NBA season. Also, Tom, one of the topics that you addressed on your podcast recently is the fact that a social life, and in particular sex, is a big part of the league away from the game. Easy for people to get a laugh or a chuckle over that. But over the course of a season, bottom line this for me, how significant is the social life component of the NBA?
It's huge. It's huge. I mean, these guys are rock stars. They're 2020 rock stars. I mean, they travel into new cities. They enjoy their lives as millionaires and fame, all that comes with being an NBA player. You know, it's not just about going to the club or going to nightclubs. It's about going out to dinner with friends or with your close associates and just enjoying life as a traveler. And a lot of that takes up a lot of their focus in terms of, like, when you're on the road, yes, you get in your workouts, yes, you go to practice, or yes, you get to, you know, go at a shoot around and play in these games, but a lot of it is just seeing the city and enjoying the people in that city. And so it's just going to be a total culture change for them. And I think being away from family and friends for 7 weeks is going to be okay for like the first week, Jim. And then I think I worry that like in week two, week three, week four, it's going to really weigh on them. And I think that's where the protocols for the NBA needs to step up, because I think as players really get homesick or miss their family and friends, they're going to have a tendency or a temptation to leave the NBA bubble, or just loosen up some of their discipline on safety protocols. And I just think they have to bake that into the protocols for the NBA, is that this, the lack of social gatherings, the lack of being able to interact with other human beings without your family there, I think it's really going to take a toll.
Tom Haberstroh joining me for a few more moments. You know, Tom, I guess time will tell, but is there a scenario in which the resumed season is suspended again or canceled? Or is your sense that the league is going to go ahead with pretty much no matter what happens?
Oh, I think, you know, on the conference call that Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, held with reporters on Friday, he said the plan is if there's one positive test, no matter if it's LeBron James, he was saying a star player or a journeyman, it doesn't matter if it's LeBron James or if it's the 12th guy on the bench. They don't plan on shutting down the league if there's one positive test. But the thing that was not in the safety protocols and the thing that everyone wants to know is, does the NBA have a level in which outbreak happens, whether it's on one team or several teams, do they have a predetermined number or predetermined scenario in which they shut everything down? And I think that's really one of the biggest questions here. And you talk about basketball leagues, the basketball tournament on ESPN, if a single player tests positive in the basketball tournament that's starting up next week, the entire team is removed from competition. They're done. So it's two drastically different approaches. The NBA is going to try to resume as much as they can, even if there's a positive test. But other leagues are simply taking a more cautious approach and saying, if there's a positive test, we need to shut the entire team down. That doesn't appear to be the case in the NBA.
We're talking to Tom Haberstroh. Tom, before you go, hit me up with one more thing. You've got a piece up on NBCSports.com where you declare that you are firmly in the camp of Team Asterisk. How come? Lay it out for me.
It's tongue-in-cheek. I'm mostly satire here, Jim. I got so fed up with the idea that this championship needs to have an asterisk on it that I went back and put an asterisk on every team, every championship in NBA history.
Love
so
it.
That was my take, is that it is not an asterisk this season. Every championship deserves an asterisk if you want to put one on 2020.
I agree with you 100%. He is an NBC Sports NBA insider. He is the host of the Haberstroh podcast, the creator of the AOS Pepper Challenge. Good friend of the program, too. Tom, great to have you back. Stay safe, and let's do it again soon.
You got it, Jim. Thanks.
Thank you. Well done, Tom Haberstroh. I agree. I come out very strongly with the same take. Don't hang an asterisk on this.